The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
The book of James is truly the most practical book in the New Testament. I would label it daily Christian living. 5 chapters that tell us how to live the Christian life every minute of every day. Pure religion is the theme of the first chapter, and it tells us that pure religion involves even a proper view of persecution. You know, 2 Timothy 3:12 said, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And in John chapter 15, our Lord said, "If the world has hated me, the world will hate you. The servant is not greater than his Lord." We need to understand then that persecution and Christianity go together. As Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "You will suffer many things for the cause of Christ," Acts 9:16. We're not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The Bible is very clear on that, Philippians 1:29. And the book of James says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience." Pure religion involves even a proper attitude toward persecution. And when men think they're doing God's service when they put us to death, John 16, verse 2, "We're rejoiced because we're in good company. So persecuted they the prophets before you," Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:12. And also, pure religion involves a proper attitude toward prayer. We're to ask in faith, never doubting. "If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith." He goes on to say, you don't want to be like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. You want to be steadfast. This book was written to Christians, and it tells us we can pray for wisdom, that we might apply the things we have learned and gleaned from God's holy word. And then pure religion involves the proper attitude toward riches. We're not to be consumed with a passion for earthly wealth. We're to understand vividly that the riches of life eternal far transcend the things of earth. Also, pure religion, according to James chapter 1, involves a proper attitude toward temptation and sin and lust. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. It isn't God's fault when we sin. We can't say, "Look what you made me do. You made me this way and gave me these propensities, and I can't help if I'm a sinner." The Bible said every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We're tempted, and temptation is not a sin because Jesus was tempted. But it becomes a sin when we yield to temptation, when lust boils up within us and we commit sin, and that brings forth death. So lust, sin, death are all kinfolks, all related. But he says God doesn't tempt us to do evil. He gives us every good and perfect gift. Don't be mistaken, brethren. God's not the source of evil. He's the source of our blessings. In him we live and move and have our being, Paul said in Acts 17 on Mars Hill in Athens. We need to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And of his own will he begat us by the word of truth. And he tells us we're to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest you deceive your own selves. The book of James tells us that the word of God is the mirror of the soul, the perfect law of liberty. It reveals us as we really are in God's sight, that we might make improvements and adjustments, lest we claim to be religious and bridle not our tongue and our religion be in vain. But pure religion is keeping ourselves unspotted from the world and taking care of the needs of the widows and the orphans. Christianity is a very practical, individual relationship with God. In chapter 2, he talks about faith and works. This was the famous chapter that gave Martin Luther fits. He had taught that we were saved by faith alone in Romans 3 and in Romans 5. And when he came to James 2:24, we read we're not justified by faith only. You know what Luther did? Instead of acknowledging he had been wrong, he called the book of James an epistle of straw, a letter of little worth, fit only to be burned. And he wouldn't even put it in his first translations of the German Bible in 1521. He put it over in the back like an appendix or a table of contents. And a lot of people today have the same attitude toward James because it teaches the necessity of works in God's sight if we'd avail anything. Faith that works by love, Galatians 5:6. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The person who teaches salvation apart from works teaches a doctrine that contradicts the Bible. And then in James 3, we learn of the value of the proper use of the tongue, of our speech. We need to be careful to use our lips to glorify God, to speak the truth, to rebuke error, and not to gossip and slander and back, lest we be consumed one of another, Galatians 5:15. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips, Psalm 141:3. Every word that man shall speak, he'll give account of in the day of judgment, Matthew 12. Thus we need to be careful that we do not cause discord among brethren, Proverbs 6. But use our speech. As Proverbs says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and framework of silver. James chapter 3 tells us that we're not to be teachers unless we're prepared to use our speech properly. And we're to ask for the wisdom from above that is first pure, peaceable, easy being treated, without partiality, full of good fruits. But the wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, devilish. In James chapter 4, he said, I'll tell you the source of wars. They come from lusts which rage within your own members. As Machiavelli said years ago in the famous work, The Prince, evil men who foment strife. Warmongers ought to just draw a circle in the ground and step in it and fight to the death and leave innocent people out of it. Wars come from lusts that rage within human hearts and minds. And just a few ungodly people in the history of the world, like Hitler and Mussolini, can cause strife around the globe. And also in our own homes and our own lives and even in congregations. Trouble and war comes, spiritual war even, when men have lust that they will not control, when they're so self-centered. We could take care of the 900,000 divorces in America every year, about 85% of them, if we could get people to control their own lustful thoughts inside their bodies.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.